Hi, my name's Mandy Giles, and I'm talking today, Thursday, the 26th of February 2015, with Faye and Michael O'Connor. We're meeting at the Curtin premises of the Canberra and District Historical Society as part of the Curtin Living Memories Project. Faye and her husband and young family arrived in Curtin, I think, in 1965, is that 66. Right?
66.
1966. At the time, I think Michael was
five.
Yeah. And ever since, the family has lived in Dunstan Street opposite the North Curtin Oval. Michael was a talented sportsman from a young age in a range of sports, but it was rugby, first played at North Curtin Oval with the Hawks Club, where he first got his taste of rugby. Michael went on to represent Australia and have an illustrious career in both rugby union and rugby league. So it's a pleasure to be able to have both Faye and Michael here today, as Michael left Curtin some years ago and he now lives in Queensland. Faye, I might just ask you first, what brought you to Curtin?
We lived in Nowra. My husband was a high school teacher and he was offered a job at the Academy of Science organising scientific symposiums and conferences, and a big conference that was due to happen 2 years after we arrived. And that's why we came, yes.
How did you feel about moving to Curtin at the time?
Well, all our friends, you're not going to live out there, right out there, are you? Yeah, and everybody was new and it was exciting. We'd moved into a new house. The framework was up when we first bought it, and all the neighbours didn't, nobody had any family around, so it was really nice. And the new school opened. Michael had one term at South Curtin, and then the new school at North Curtin opened. Yes.
So compared to what the environment of Curtin is like now, how was it different physically and the environment? What was it like when you first arrived?
Well, my first memory is we didn't have any curbing and guttering. Every time we drove out of the drive, we were getting bogged. But it didn't take long to get the roads. And the first time we went to Belconnen, and it was on a dirt track. We were involved. I think when you're involved with sport, I played tennis and Pete played basketball, and the kids were both the two older children were involved with sport, because Sharon didn't arrive till 9 years later. It was just exciting. Yeah, different and exciting.
Good. Well, in terms of, you know, what's been important aspects of living in Curtin for you, especially in the early days? I mean, you talked about sport there. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, it was just the a small community, everybody in the school. We were all involved with the school. We all listened to the reading and we spent hours doing the canteen and making toffees and lollies for the tips at sale at their fates and to raise money for the school. We're heavily involved with the school, most of my friends and myself, yes.
And I guess was it more usual back then for women not to be working in the paid workforce, so you were around more to do that kind of thing?
Yes, it was.
Well, Michael, I might come to you now. What do you remember about arriving in Curtin and going to school?
Not a lot. I remember, I had my first school experience in Nowra. I went to East Nowra Primary School for a term. I do remember that quite vividly, but I was very excited, I think, about coming to Canberra and a new house, and it was a real adventure. And I don't have, I can't really compare it to a lot of other experiences but it certainly wasn't a bad experience. It was a good experience to move to Canberra and, go to a school and become involved with, you mentioned sport. I just love sport and running around. And so I was outdoors a lot, and Canberra was a good outdoors open environment, Curtin in particular, because we had that oval across the road.
What were some of the sports you got involved with as a child?
Pretty much the whole gamut. I played tennis, soccer, rugby union, rugby league, athletics, just about everything, basketball, softball at school. North Curtin Primary School were big on softball, and we used to play that at lunchtime, handball, whatever. I'd be into everything, yeah.
And it wasn't only playing in the local teams. I gather it wasn't probably long before you started getting to representative teams for some of those sports as well, would you say, or representing your school, that kind of
thing? Yeah, I think representing my school, and I was very competitive. I just liked to win when I was a little bloke. And, so because I, you know, I had some success in athletics and, it led to going to sort of zone carnivals and then to the national championships in Sydney. That was very exciting for me, like being at primary school and going to Sydney and being billeted, and just opened up a whole new world.
How old were you then, would you say?
It was at primary school that I was doing that, so I'm a young bloke.
And he still held a record at North Curtin School. It was on the honours board, and that has gone. I don't know what happened to it.
Oh, what was that for sprinting?
Running.
Yeah.
Mm.
And what was your best distance?
Oh, look, I think can't really remember. But
probably most of them by the sound of it.
Yeah.
So when did you first get a taste of rugby?
Well, I played for the Hawks, and Hal Hickey, who lives around the corner from us in Throssell Street?
Robertson Street.
He formed the Hawks Rugby Union, Junior Rugby Union Club, and they played opposite on the Oval. And that was my first rugby team and experience, playing for the Hawks, who were the Curtin side, basically. And they then later fed into Royals, who was my senior, they became my senior club.
I might ask you a bit more about the rugby in a moment, but you mentioned that you played tennis and you played soccer as well. I mean, and you've also previously mentioned some of the important people that helped you in coaching and other things in those sports that people also might remember. Tell us about the tennis coach and the person you used to play with as well, Wally Masseur.
Yes, well, Mum was keen on a tennis, and when she came here, she joined the Hughes.
North Woden. North now Woden. It's called, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And the tennis coach there at the time was a guy called Charlie Hollis, who famously coached Rod Laver. And he was a really hard taskmaster. And I enjoyed being coached by him. He set very high standards. And I think because of that and the fact that I got to an age where I'm playing players like Wally Masseur. I'll never forget this, actually. I played Wally over at Yarralumla one day, and he was a year or two behind me, like younger, and I think he beat me in straight sets. And I thought, well, I'm going to concentrate on rugby, I think.
That was the end of your tennis.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, you do like to win.
Yeah, that's right. And that was the same with athletics. I got to a stage with my athletics that I was going to the Nationals and not winning, and I didn't like that. I was used to winning, and I think what was happening too, like kids were growing taller and leaner and different stages of growth and all that sort of stuff, and I just found myself not winning. So I started to lose interest in athletics.
So what positions were you most suited to on the rugby field?
Oh, in the back line. I played all my football in the centres or out on the wing. So they're sort of positions where you have to have good evasion and speed. And I think the reason that I was able to continually make rep sides and go further was the fact that I started at a young age. Like anything, you put in the hours, and I put in the hours on North Curtin Oval. Say 10,000 hours. I would have had at least 10,000 hours up just every afternoon playing with a football in my hand on North Curtin Oval. And that really helped me.
On your own or with other people passing?
The kids. Everyone would come after school. We'd all meet down on the Oval and kick a footy and play cricket, or we'd always have a ball in our hands, be doing something. It was great.
Now, you're a modest type of person. I mean, I might ask Faye, you might be able to elaborate, because the person who suggested you for the interview said you were quite a genius on the field. You could, you really were the playmaker. You were the person that could, in the position you were in, you had a very big influence on the game. What do you think, Faye?
Yes, everybody at the time that we knew that was involved with rugby said he was one-off. He was exceptional. Whatever sport he played well. Charlie, getting back to Charlie, said to me, if you give up playing rugby, you could be a top tennis player. And Theo Moulis said, if you give up playing rugby, you could be a top soccer player. So he was just a good all-rounder at everything he ever did, and it was, I think, just a freak player.
Well, I've just seen someone at an event I was before coming here, and he lamented the days when he used to pay for another team, I think the Magpies, and, you know, without doubt, they'd, you know, you'd run in there and score 10 tries to their one or two. So, and he's got a poster of you that he still has today. So you certainly made your mark back then and even till recently. I might ask you to tell us a little bit about when you started getting into your representative stage. I mean, you joined Royals after the Hawks. Yeah. And what happened then?
I was fortunate that back then there was no Brumbies, there was no Canberra Raiders. We played in ACT played against New South Wales Country, for example. But rugby union was, it wasn't a backwater, but it certainly wasn't on the same level as it was in Queensland or New South Wales. It certainly is now. The Brumbies are, you know, the shining light in Australian rugby. But back then, we were a poor cousin, and you really needed to, everybody told me I needed to go to Sydney to play in Sydney or go to Brisbane, play for Queensland, if I was going to play for Australia. But I was fortunate. 1979 was the first and only time I ever did it. They had a possible probables trial up in Sydney at Concord Oval. And there was a guy playing for Royals at the time called Jules Durasimov, and he's an ex-Wallaby. And he mentioned me to the selectors. And look, I think the selectors knew that I was down in Canberra, but they invited me up to play in that trial. It was a one-off trial, and they picked a side to go to Argentina from that trial. So I was really up against a guy called Brett Gosper, who was playing in Victoria, the son of the Olympian, Kevin Gosper. Was his son, who's now actually, incidentally, he's CEO of the IRB, the National Rugby Board. He went overseas subsequently after that trial and made a career in advertising in France, and he's now with the IRB. But it really came down to either he or I got to go to Argentina on the back of that trial match. And fortunately, I got selected. And that just changed my whole. I got very lucky there because I went as an 18-year-old to Argentina on the first ever tour, and that was back there when they had a military rule, and you know it took about 3 days to get there. We went through Bogota and all these amazing places, and as an 18-year-old, I found myself in Argentina playing rugby and seeing a whole, you know, different side of the world that I. You know, and that really whet my appetite for playing rugby and wanting to do well in rugby because I thought, well, it's a great way of seeing the world. Yeah.
So that was actually playing for Australia.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. That's yeah. And just to show what a person who a quietly spoken person you are, the same person I was talking to today, his wife went to Phillip College with you, and she hadn't seen you for a while, and she said, where have you been? What have you been doing? You said, oh, just playing rugby, not playing for Australia. So it's...
Who was that?
Alison, her name is.
Okay.
Anyway, but before that, you had the chance to play in the Australian schoolboys, I believe, and a tour of the UK, and that was a bit of a family affair, Faye.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, we had 9 weeks, and the two daughters and myself and Pete, we travelled with the supporters tour. We went to England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, and then we went to Holland. And, it was very exciting, and we'd be on that bus and we'd be travelling every day, and sometimes we'd have a couple of days in places, but it was very exciting. And, of course, they won everything. They wiped the slate clean over there. It was just great.
And Michael had a good tour?
Yes. In fact, the whole team did. They combined really well, and you just couldn't believe the talent that was in that team. You're all in one team. It was amazing.
Yeah. Who were some of the people on the team, people that we might know of nowadays?
Oh, well, notably Wally Lewis. He got injured, but the three Ella brothers, Tony Melrose was the captain. So, you know, they were so competitive to get a spot. I only played in two of the four test matches, and I was the leading point scorer and try scorer. Like, it was really competitive to get a spot, to get a start in that side. And everyone was just so, you know, driven and to succeed, and we were real trailblazers back then, and that side, yeah, still is. It's probably one of the most celebrated schoolboy sides of all time, 1977, yeah.
And Michael was the youngest in the team.
How old were you at that time?
Well, I was in year 11, and born at the end of the year, so how do you work it out? 77.
77 or 17
then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not...
Yeah.
I think
he became really good friends with Chris Roach, who was in the team. He was the oldest and Michael was the youngest in the team. But Michael had they all had a really good game, a trip, didn't they?
Oh, it was everyone a real played experience. So well. You know, we went to Buckingham Palace and met the Queen, and we did all this stuff that, you know, you'd only dream about at that, at, you know, that age. So,
not bad for a boy from Dunstan Street, Curtin.
Yeah. And what about, tell Mandy what the Queen said to you. Is she... You're not allowed to talk to the Queen. You've got to wait till she talks to you. Protocol, they're all gathered round her.
Yeah, no, she asked me where I was from, and I said Canberra. And I just happened to mention not far from the Governor General's place at Yarralumla. She said, oh, I know it, you know, very well.
What team do you play for?
What team do you play for? And I said Royals. And she said, oh. Very happy.
Very appropriate. So just... tell us a bit about your rugby union career.
Well, I went to rugby league in 1983, so it wasn't a long career, from 79 to 82. And so that was my first tour, Argentina. I went to Fiji for a one-off test. I guess the highlight was 1981, where we hadn't been able to beat New Zealand for about 27 years, a little bit like we are at the moment with the Bledisloe Cup. And we had a home series, and we just had an exciting team, really exciting back line with Mark Eller, and there was Brendan Moon, myself, Michael Hawker, Roger Gould, a really outstanding back line. And we'd been able to form schoolboy combinations, a combination, Mark Eller, myself, and Michael Hawker in the midfield. And we had our best ever chance of beating New Zealand. We beat them in the first test in Sydney, and then we went to Ballymore, and we lost it in the last, you know, literally the last play of the game. A guy called Hicker Reed scored a try. It was a length of the field try, sort of after the siren. And so we had to go to play the third test, and that was at Sydney, and it was a record crowd, and we beat them quite convincingly in that test match. So that was the highlight for me, winning the Bledisloe in 81. We toured the British Isles. Unfortunately, I spent a lot of that tour injured, and it wasn't a successful tour. We came away with the only one win. That was against Ireland, and that was incidentally the only test match I played. And I did nothing in that game, but I scored the only try of the game. And I'll never forget it, because the headline the next day was, you know, Irishman, because my last name's O'Connor, they just claimed me as an Irishman. Yeah, Irishman sinks Ireland.
yeah.
But, and then when I came back from that, from that tour, I'd been offered a contract the year before to go to St. George and put it off because of that trip. And then... really, it was just the offer's probably too good to refuse, so I went to Rugby League in 1983.
Well, I guess, as we were discussing the other day, back then rugby union players didn't receive a lot of money. Mm. In fact, you were living in a boarding house and trying to live on very little money as a rugby union player, very different to today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm. And that was the thing... I probably would have stayed in rugby union had it been professional. I wouldn't have gone to league because it was a good lifestyle. But, yeah, I think in hindsight it was the right thing to do. Yeah.
So wrap up the rugby league career, because that was a lot longer, wasn't it?
10 years I had, and the first four at St George under a coach called Roy Masters, who now writes for the Sydney Morning Herald. He was the guy that was instrumental in signing me. So I had 4 years under Roy, and we got to a grand final in 85. Unfortunately, we got beaten. We were the minor premiers, probably the best team all year. We'd beaten Canterbury in the major semi-final quite convincingly, and we were odds on to win the grand final. We got beaten 7-5, and that was one of the biggest disappointments of my career. And that was the year I organised a trip to an end-of-season trip to Rio de Janeiro for the team. And that sort of soured a little bit, but we went over there and still had a good time. Mm-hmm. We met up with Ronnie Biggs and through Roy Masters. There's a story there as well, but I shouldn't go in, we haven't got time. But so 85 was, we went very close with St George. And then I went over to Manly in 1987 and spent 6 years there, the last couple as captain. We won a comp in 87. We beat the Canberra Raiders.
That was really exciting.
Wow.
That
was probably the highlight.
Yeah, and there would have been a lot of people from Canberra that would have been interested to see you play, no doubt, because they would have known you from when you were a sportsman in Canberra as well.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
There's one snippet I should have mentioned when we were talking about the schoolboys. In Twickenham, women are never invited to receptions, ever. Mm-hmm. And that particular year, myself and my two daughters and Daphne Roach, Chris's mum, they had us to the reception at Twickenham, and they set us a little table at the end of the room, and they made an announcement that, you know, about us. And so we were the first ones to ever go to a reception at Twickenham.
Oh, well, good to see the Aussies pushing the boundaries.
All the wives of the officials over there, they kept thinking, oh, they'll get invited too if we're coming, but they weren't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was fantastic.
Yes.
So you've actually remained involved in the game of rugby since your playing days, I understand.
Yeah. So I got into the – I did a bit of radio work when I finished in Sydney with rugby league. And then the last 15 years I've been back in rugby union. I started doing some talent identification when rugby came professional. Jeff Miller asked me to keep an eye out for – possible recruits from rugby league, and I was instrumental in Matt Rogers and Lottie Takiri and Wendell Saylor, all those early signings coming over. And from that, I by absolute chance, Jeff Miller asked me whether I would manage a sevens team over Christmas to go to Argentina and Chile, and I couldn't put my hand up quick enough. I thought, that's great. Just what I want to do. And so I really discovered sevens over there and how passionate and what a well-organised international circuit it was and the potential that it had. And I did that for a couple of years. I managed teams to Hong Kong and overseas. I was a terrible manager. I remember Susan laughed at me when we went to the airport. She dropped me at the airport on my first ever assignment as a manager to Argentina, and I asked her if she had a pen when I got out of the car, and said, "Have you got a pen?" She said, "Oh no, this is terrible." So I wasn't a great manager, but I started to pick up, and I played a bit of sevens. I played 3 years up in Hong Kong. We won the Hong Kong sevens in 1982. So I started to pick up, the nuances and how the trends were going in the game. And from that, had an opportunity when Robbie Deans took over the Wallabies to coach, to become the head coach of the Aussie Sevens, because he'd seen the success of the New Zealand Sevens program and how they develop players for their 15s game. So So that was fortunate, and for 6 years I was the head coach, and I stepped down from that role last year, and I'm still sort of involved just on a junior development talent ID sort of role, part-time role.
And has the sporting talent been continued on in your family?
Look, my youngest boy is a good sportsman. He rugby he was good, he played first 15. He played for Queensland. Queensland 2s in the under-16s. But he, you know, he had a knee injury, a bad knee injury, and he's not really, I don't think he, you know, he's a good club player. There's no doubt he'd make a good club player, but I don't think he's at that elite sort of level, and he's not big enough, I don't believe. He's also a very good softballer.
Tennis?
Yeah, he was good at, yeah, he's good at sport. But not probably elite level stuff. My eldest boy is, he likes playing tennis, but he's quite academic. Yeah, he's like his mother. He's very much like his mother, and he's down in Melbourne at Melbourne University doing an English literature master's degree. But enjoys sport, and he's good on statistics. When he's a little bloke, he could tell you just about everything that was in the rugby league week. He'd read it, and he'd be able to tell you how many missed tackles so and so had the week before. To answer your question, long-winded, probably
the
no.
The three kids were very good at softball.
Yeah,
Susan coached softball all through the years, and yeah, they're all good at softball.
Good all-round people that are achievers as well, by the sound of it. We should bring this back to Curtin. You're here this week. I mean, how often do you get back to your home?
Oh, I've been down in Canberra for the last 6 years because we've run a camp-based program from out at the AIS, but when I'm staying out at Bruce, it's rare that I'll get to see Mum and Dad, but not for long. I might meet them over at Belconnen or, you know, but I have been home regularly. I don't... I haven't been away for an extended period. So I get down here, at least a couple of times a year. Yeah, and I enjoy coming back. Yeah.
And so you're living in Queensland now?
Yeah, I've been in Queensland since 1992. Yeah.
And unfortunately your dad passed away last year, I believe.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And that was good in a way because it sort of it brought a lot of people from the past back, and we had the wake back at Mum's place, and it was good to catch up with a lot of people, and encouraging that there were so many people that thought so highly of him to come to the funeral, and they travelled long distances some of them, and he had a good life. He was 85, he loved Curtin. He just it was very difficult to get him out of that house in the end. Yeah.
And Faye, you were saying just being able to look out on the Oval was really important to him, particularly in the latter part of his life.
Well, the last couple of weeks and the last day before he went to the hospice, he'd been on oxygen all night, and he got up and got himself into the lounge room and sat at his window looking out and had the day there and talked to Michael, asked questions. We all talked about everything, and Michael said, "Dad, what weeds are you worrying about?" He said, "I'm worried about the weeds in the lawn." So Michael put a hat on and went out and weeded for an hour, and then cleaned up and came in. And I said to Michael and Sharon, "Have a beer." And I said to Pete, "Would you like a beer?" So we had a couple of shandies, and we talked all afternoon. And at the end of the day, he shrugged his shoulders and said, "It's been a perfect day." The next day he went to the hospice for 3 nights before he died, yes. So he had a perfect ending to his life. The last couple of weeks we'd been up for Michael's son's 21st. We'd been down to Mollymook to one of the Royal Fellows and his wife's wedding, 60th birthday as it was meant to be. It turned out to be a wedding. So he caught up with all the people that he really loved and cared about. And we got up to see Michael's house because it had just been renovated, and he always loved going up there. So he had the last month was really exciting for him, even though he was very sick. So he had a really good last month, yeah.
Well, getting back to you, Faye, you're still here. You've got obviously no intention to leave at the moment. I mean, you talked about those early years of making friends and being involved in tennis and the school and everything. What's life like for you nowadays and very life busy. In Curtin as well?
Very busy. I played bridge twice a week. I've got lots of different groups of friends from the schools when the kids went to school, the football club, the ladies I played tennis with back in 1966. We all meet once a month. And Pete and I played Federal Golf Club, and the people from the Gulf. We've got lots of groups of friends, plus we're still in touch with all the people that we met when we first got married, all our that he taught with in Nowra back in 59. So we're still in touch with the ones that are alive, which is really nice.
So it sounds to me like sport has been a really unifying factor for your for
family,
you,
yes.
And those connections you make through clubs and things like that.
Yes,
yes. I think also, Mum, the Woden Valley Club was
The Woden Valley Club was a big thing for us.
Because
That didn't open. Days. When we first came here, there was, if you wanted to go for a drink or anything, we had to go over to the Kingston pub. And, you know, you couldn't take kids in, so we'd sit out in the beer garden and have a beer. And then they opened the Woden Valley Club, which was great because people could take their kids in and they had a little kids' room with a backboard and it was like family there. We used to have wonderful nights, parties and things, you know, for years that was. And that, a lot of those friends are still our really best friends now that we made at Woden Valley Club.
Well, I must say you're not the only person that's mentioned the Woden Valley Club. Yeah. There's obviously a lot of good feeling about that. And someone who's lived in Curtin for the last 22 years, even though we've got the Statesman, I've sometimes felt it would be lovely to have a spot that was very family-friendly.
It was.
To spend time with. So you were lucky enough to have it.
Well, my friends and I, if we walked to the shops, we could call into the Woden Valley Club. And if the men had come in from working, they'd be at the bar. You'd just go and sit at the bar. It was just like family. Whereas you'd never go, I'd never go into the pub on my own or with a friend, but it was just really family orientated. When Pete was away at uni doing a course or something, they had dinner dances, I'd go along and it was just like family. Everyone made you welcome and looked after you. It was just lovely. Yeah.
How sad it's not there anymore.
Yes, yes.
Life moves on.
It was very sad when we left here. They moved to Deakin, but it was never the same.
No, just being able to walk somewhere makes a big difference, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
And even this week, I understand you've been having dinner with old friends from Royals from all those years ago.
Yes, Friday night. There were quite a couple of big tables. How many would there?
It's good to catch up with some old friends. I try to now, and I should make more of an attempt. But Mum is the real extrovert in our family. She
the social organiser.
Well,
I try to when he's home. He's not home that much. Well, he will be from now on, I think. I'll try to get him to see as many people as we can. And we've had a very busy week. I think he'll be glad to get on that plane on Saturday to have a rest. And he's also been doing lots of cleaning and things for me, which is great. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for coming in today and for sharing your experience of life growing up in Curtin. And just, you know, they say with sport you've got to do it thousands and thousands of times to become really good at it. And living across the road from North Curtin Oval, I think, paid off for you.
Correct. Yep.
It did. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thanks, Mandy.